The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Now, when you're disqualified from driving for drink driving or a similar serious offence, or when you've accumulated 12 penalty points within a 3-year period, you lose your licence and you're supposed to hand it up. But a huge number of drivers either don't bother or willfully refuse to do so. So what happens to them? How are they punished? What sanctions do they face? Well, to tell us more, Conor Vaughan, transport commentator and consultant of the RSA, is with me in studio. Conor, good morning.
Good morning, Pat. Hello.
There are a lot of people not handing over their licences.
Well, we get about 11,000 people per year who lose their licence for one reason or another. Could have accumulated your 12 points, you might have been told by a judge you're suspended for 6 months, whatever it is. About 11,000 per year. Of those, 92% don't bother doing anything.
And they're obliged to within 14 days.
Within 14 days, you're obliged to return that driving licence to the NDLS. As I say, 92% of people don't do it. So over a two and a half year period, according to information from Jim O'Callaghan this week, we had 23,000 drivers who were supposed to surrender their licence but didn't. Of that cohort, one was prosecuted. Literally one.
So what are we at? Well,
look, there's a couple of things. Firstly, we're not administering the existing system properly. Now, it kind of shouldn't matter, Pat, because the physical surrender of the document itself is kind of obsolete these days. You are suspended and it shows on the database. It shows on the NDDF.
Yeah, but does a guard, when a guard stops you at a checkpoint and you're obliged these days to carry a license with you, the old idea that's in the post or I'll drop it into the guard station, you're supposed to actually have it on you. So can they, on the spot, check that that licence is valid?
Well, yes, but yes, they can, because the existing guard, the traffic corps, they've got their ANPR technology. They have the insurance database, which is well integrated now. It took them a long time, but they have it. And they have the national vehicle and driver file. So here's Mr. Pat Kenny. Here's his licence. You'll recall we all had to provide our driver number to the insurance companies recently. So yes, they can see that. Now, they can ping the database and say, ah, Mr. Kenny, you're very naughty. You're actually suspended. You should have done this. But that only happens when they physically do take the trouble to check it. Mm. So you're going to pass the casual test. If you show the driving license, you're going to get away with that. If they ping the database, you'll be caught.
I mean, ideally, when you have the number plate recognition technology, so up comes the car. It says it's, a Ford X or a Toyota Y. And if it's not, that's a big trouble, number one. Mm. It should also specify the colour of it so that you know it's the right vehicle. It should also spec, therefore, which drivers are actually insured to drive. And is the driver in question one of those insured drivers?
All of those things. So it should say, this is a car. It's covered. It's a policy in the name of Conor Faulkner. And there's a wife and two adult children on the policy. Here are their names. Here are their driver numbers. So that's pretty comprehensive. If any of those people is confronted by a guard, they're going to be caught, provided the guard has access to the database and is physically carrying out the check. But if it's a casual check and you're just driving by, but look, let's be honest.
Now, these
Pat,
are the checks that were ordered by Drew Harris that everyone spends an hour a day or something doing traffic management.
Yeah.
And they don't have, presumably, this high-tech facility available on their mobile phones, or do they?
They do, but it all takes a little bit of an additional process.
You can imagine you've got a queue of people in some suburban street.
Yeah, you're going to pass the casual test. And to be honest, Pat, in 30-odd years of driving, you know, if on average I've physically shown my driving license to a guard, it's been once every 10 years. Mm. I've done it more in France than I have in Ireland. It's, so we just don't bother doing it, which is an indictment in itself. So in terms of the physical administration, look, it's clear we're not bothering to physically collect
licenses. Now, one of the practical problems is that you're supposed to deliver it back to the National Driver License Service. Where are they based?
Yeah, well, this is it. It's a PO box in Cork. So, I mean, they're
so
actually...
you can't go into your local guard station your local driving test centre.
You would think,
whatever,
in all logic, you should be able to go into the desk of your local guard station and say, here's my licence, judge told me I had to give it up. But no, you actually have to free post it to a PO box number in Cork. You can't even drop into an NDLS centre. So the system is actually putting obstacles in front of you physically surrendering the licence. So look, what's happening here is they don't care, really. It's an anachronistic law. The physical surrender of the document itself actually doesn't matter. So they're going to be sending it back to you in 6 months anyway. What does matter is that you show up on a database and it pings loud and sharp if a guard comes across you driving while your license is under
suspension. And do you think that's the reason they haven't pursued all these people? Because it is anachronistic and therefore it's only busy work.
It's like the old insurance discs, Pat. You know, when conceived as an idea in the 60s, it made a degree of sense. With 2.5 million drivers on the busy roads we have now, there's no way of making it practical, so they're not bothering to do it at all. So, you know, in that case...
But also just, with printers, you can copy someone's
easy
disc.
Easy peasy. But that being the case, why don't we stop pretending? Because it just makes all of our laws look daft. If we have something that's on the statute books, but absolutely everybody in the chain
knows. So the idea would be that number plate on the vehicle is the beginning, if you like. It's the key to open a box of information for every guard.
So there you go. What, you know, 181D1234, that's Mr. Pat Kenny. You know, of the licenses on insured on that car, one is under suspension. You know, this whole thing should be appearing in front of the guard as your car passes by. And whether you've physically given up the document or not isn't important in the same way that whether you physically...
And all it has to do really is set up an alert. The guard doesn't have to read all of that stuff instantly. No. Just the car that just passed, that Toyota, that's, we need to stop that.
Well,
off they go.
The guard in their guard, the car sitting there in traffic, will hear a ping. Yeah. And you know, that has a suspended driver insured to drive it. It'd be worth pulling him in and checking. And this is the way it should work. And I've no problem, in a sense, not fixing the silly old system. But I think given that it's never going to work, why don't we just abandon it? Because pretending it's there just makes everybody in the chain look silly.
Carry a driver's license, says one listener. Days of carrying a wallet are over. When are we going to get digital licenses to carry on our phones? That's from Liam. And, you know, in Britain, there's a talk in the Labour Party conference talking about a digital ID card.
Yep.
And we don't have ID cards here. They do all over Europe.
They do all over
the rest of the world. Who are you? Prove it.
Yeah.
We don't do that.
We don't do that. And in the US for many years, the driver's license has been by proxy, the document that they use for that. We could do that. There sort of is a digital driving license when you think about it, because, you know, you have the plastic credit cardy thingy, but that's literally only plastic. What makes it relevant is the fact that it's tagged to your entry on the database, and it's your entry on the database that determines whether you're legal or not.
The driving license issue is crazy. Surely anyone who appears in court on a motoring charge should be obliged to bring their license with him or her and provide it to the court authorities, and failure to do so should result in another fine. If the judge disqualifies the driver charged, the license should be retained and forwarded by the courts to the NDLA. If not, the disqualified license should be returned. Well, now, the point is there.
That's all theoretically true, but no link in that chain actually works.
No link in that chain.
None of those things. You don't bother with any of those
things. And also, if you lose your license because of 12 penalty points, you're not in court at all.
You're not in court at all. You have the proactive obligation on you to physically post it into the NDLA, wait 6 months until they physically post it back.
Okay, another thorny topic is that of the Metro North and the speculation that it could be done in two phases. They'll open part one while they continue to work on part two in order to accelerate its delivery.
Yeah, accelerate its delivery. They're talking about the earliest train rolling being in 2035. So that doesn't feel like accelerated delivery to me. How fast do they do these things in Asian cities? We're talking about first passenger journey in 10 years time. So, I mean, I get frustrated when they talk about speeding it up. What they're saying that they can do is they could probably open the airport to O'Connell Street leg of it about 9 months earlier than the O'Connell Street to Charleman Street leg of it. Now, to me, that's a little bit of, like, you know, we're talking about the colour of the trains and, you know, what language should appear first, Irish or English.
Now, the question
and we haven't
is,
dug a damn thing
yet. And I don't know what that intersection would be like in O'Connell Street, but there's got to be an underground walkway to the Dart at Connolly, and there has to be an steps up to the Lewis in order to have connectivity.
Yeah. Now, look, these things are not rocket science. I'm not underestimating them. I mean, they're big capital engineering projects. I'm not pretending they're easy, but they're not this hard either. They do them in lots and lots of other cities. To me, it's not so much, I don't care what colour the bloody trains are. I don't care which station they open first. I do care that 20 years after we said we'd do it, It's now three times the price and we're still 10 years away. So I won't be impressed with any of this nonsense until they actually physically start building.
And we have a long way to go, put tenders out and all the rest of it. Connor, thank you very much for joining us. Connor Faulkner, transport commentator and consultant to the RIAC.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.